Welcome to Section 420, Talking Yankees, the podcast. Well, the Yankees dodged the Tommy John bullet with Garrett Cole, but it hits Jonathan Loaisiga right between the eyes, or you would say right in the elbow there. Looks like a further diagnosis on his arm there, on the elbow. At least looks like there is a tear on the UCL, so it's going to need the infamous Tommy John surgery. So kiss 2024 goodbye. He's going to be on the mend for the next 12 to 14 months, and perhaps maybe the last we've seen of him in a Yankee uniform. Again, he's in an arbitration deal going into free agency then, so perhaps we've seen the last of Jonathan Loaisiga, unfortunately. So we'll get into the whole thing. Again, kind of disappointing for the Yankees, but they do bounce back in this home opening series. After losing the first game 3-0, I told you don't worry about the offense, even though they got blanked 3-0. I just thought it was the idea of just Kikuchi was really on his game, so don't worry about the offense, and they bounce back in both games to take the series there. So at least a good bit there, but of course a big downer losing Loaisiga. So we'll get into the whole thing. We got a whole season ahead of us, and we got injuries, we got little check-ins with you, we got some little Yankee history, a lot of the cool stuff. You got to be a podcast subscriber to get that. So wherever you get your favorite podcasts, make sure you subscribe. And of course, go over to the YouTube channel as well. Section 420 Talking Yankees. Search it, find it, subscribe to it, and get some stuff there as well. Updating as frequently as here, but you want to cover all the bases. So I mentioned before, initially Loaisiga coming back from the road trip in Arizona. Again, he had some discomfort. It looks like they had an MRI on the elbow there. Again, the initial diagnosis was just a right flexor strain where he was going to be put on the 60-day IL. So, that wasn't terrific news. But there was really no hint that, the big TJ was coming around the corner. But then, of course, after the Yankee home opener where they dropped the first game there 3-0, the news comes down that, yes, he's going to need the Tommy John surgery. And a big disappointment there because he was supposed to be a real big cog in this Yankee bullpen. Again, they're really going to depend on him to kind of be the Michael King guy. And we saw the formula work beautifully in the first game there in Houston. Him throwing two scoreless innings, and that's kind of what he's capable of doing with his stuff. Unfortunately, it looks like, and this has been an issue with him for the past several years. He's always been hurt, arm issues, shoulder issues, and he throws hard, he has a hard slider, so is he overthrowing, kind of like Jason DeGrom had been doing with the Mets in Texas, why he always needs surgeries, and always needs to be shut down, possibly, but nevertheless, he's done for the Yankees, so kind of a big blow for them. I don't say it's a crucial blow, but a very big blow, because they're going to rely on him heavily, so we'll see what the Yankees do. Obviously, right after that, they brought up Dennis Santana. Again, he was the former Met, kind of a minor league invite. And, the first outing there for the Yankees in the home opening, in the 3-0 loss, he was impressive there. And the Yankees actually used him to close the final game of the series finale here. So, so far he's been impressive. Is his stuff up there with Loaisiga? No, but at least so far so good with Santana. And, of course, they also called up Jake Cousins. He's the pitcher I mentioned not too long ago, who they traded from the Chicago White Sox for cash considerations. And the Yankees cashing him already, bringing him up also to get the Yankees the Yankees across the finishing line in the fifth inning to get the win in this series finale as well. So, these two kind of, Cashman's little bargain basement, little pitchers there already paying off early on in the season. So this good thing, Cashman has been stocking up, and you kind of see why, because these pitchers can go down at any time. Nonetheless, after the first game, I kind of mentioned don't worry about the offense. Even though they kind of looked a little lifeless, I know Judge gave a ball a ride that went foul, and even Verdugo hit one there in the ninth. I think he maybe thought maybe it might go out. But on that, the Yankee offense was kind of listless. I just thought it was just Kikuchi was on his game, his breaking stuff was good, and just, maybe the old Yankees psyched themselves out a little bit. You get off to a great start of the season, you fly across country back home, and, you got your home opening, you're all jacked up, and, I don't know, maybe just psyched themselves out, or sometimes there's another pitcher, this is on his A game, he's tippy cap. But I didn't think this is something like, oh, this is the same old Yankees from last year, stuff like that. I didn't think it was that situation, and the offense did respond back in both the wins for the Yankees to take the series, and with the second game there, it was Judge and Stanton get a couple of home runs in the first inning. The Yankees actually go have a 6-0 lead in this game. Even Rizzo hitting his first home run of the season there, so it's just good to see the big three. Judge, Stanton, Rizzo getting some home runs. Now the Stanton one wasn't impressive. I mean, it was kind of one of it was an opposite field and kind of just barely went over the right field wall. It's kind of one of the old 2009 Johnny Damon type of home runs. But at least it's good to see him get off the schneid there, because even saw an article in the post by Joel Sherman earlier today to say really showcasing Stanton and other aging players such as Juan Baez, Anthony Rendon, and of course Stanton. They're kind of being these players there, kind of in this mid-30s, and you still have a bunch of years left in the contract, and they do not look good at all. I don't know if Stanton read the article or not, and I was kind of get a little hesitant to him because he did not have a good start of the season at all. Again, and in spring training, just had that one game where he popped off with three home runs, but other than that, his bat's been dead. Not the case in this game. Hitting the home run as well as getting two more hits. So good to see his bat come alive. It will come alive in a big way in the final game there. But this is a game that Clark Schmidt started. Now, he couldn't get the five innings there. Pitched decently enough. They need kind of Luke Weaver to get the Yankees over the finish line in terms of the win. So he ended up getting the win there. Now, the Yankee bullpen, even though it's a big lead, they get touched up a little bit. It was Victor Gonzalez and Ian Hamilton there. Didn't really exactly lock it down too great. Even Hamilton got smacked around. So he shouldn't have gotten to that point. And then even need Clay Holmes to come in to get the save, get to the final two outs of the game. And the Yankees just hold on barely 9-8. And that would have been such a terrible game because the Yankees were ahead like 8-3 at one point in this game. If they almost blew the lead there, that would have been a really bad one there to follow up after the 3-0 loss. And then, of course, the final game there. It's kind of the same deal. The Yankees were down 1-0 early, but came storming back. And I guess the centerpiece of that was the man I mentioned before, Giancarlo Stanton. Bases loaded, 2-2 count. Now, the pitcher Francis Day was struggling in the inning, and I agreed with him on that on this pitch. It was a pitch low and inside. Now, normally, if you have a good player that's hot and hitting well or a superstar player, you do not throw the ball there because he'll crush it. But as we know, Stanton's been struggling overall. I know, yeah, he did hit he had three hits the game before and had kind of a fluky home run. But again, up to this point, he's been struggling for a while. So I was up over there with Francis. I was like, you know what, 2-2 count. I would throw it right in that spot. And if he could hit it, you tip your cap to him and say, all right, he's still got it. If not, the scouting partner Stan was probably like, he's not getting around on the ball as much anymore. He's having some issues there. So I was kind of on the same page with Francis. I was like, hey, if I was him, I'd throw it in there. He threw it in. And to Stan's credit, he's crushed the ball. I mean, the crack of the bat, you knew it, and the crowd knew it was gone right away. Left field, off the facade there in the second level there. So definitely no doubt about it, shot there. So, good for him. And if his bat gets going, that's great. Judge hasn't been exactly explosive out of the gate. But again, he's on two home runs already. So Stanton with two home runs. Soto's been fine, not really with the home run ball, but he's been spraying the ball over. So not worried about Soto. But you get Stanton, Judge, Soto going, and Rizzo as well. They got the fearsome force from there. That'd be great for the Yankees. Luis Gil started the game again, had a dominating performance in his first one against Arizona. This one, he struggled a little bit and got knocked around, but of course, what he always does and what's impressive about it, he got a bunch of strikeouts. But as I mentioned before, they needed to get Jake Cousins out of the bullpen to get the Yankees across the finish line there in the fifth inning, so he gets the win. And Dennis Santana able to, again, come out, impressive in the first game and all right in this game, gets the save. So I guess they gave Clay Holmes the game off just because he pitched the game before there. And, of course, he got, a couple more games in a row there. So I guess they just want to give Clay Holmes enough rest here and there, not use him too much, which I think is okay. And the Yankees take the third game and take the series there. So, good to kind of beat Toronto. People have been kind of focusing on Baltimore in the AL East making the big jump, as well as you always got to watch out by Tampa Bay. But Toronto's always sneaky there. But it's good to beat them at home because then they're a team that's kind of been bothering the Yankees a little bit, Toronto. So you kind of want to get those wins against them as well in the AL East, just kind of with the standings for later on. So that's the episode. So bad news with Loaisiga. He's going to be gone for the year, maybe gone as a Yankee. We'll see what the Yankees are going to do there. I don't know if Dennis Santana could replace what you can get with, or even someone like Jake Cousins could replace the stuff of a Loaisiga. But the Yankees are going to have to piece this together. You still have Tommy Canley coming around eventually. So, that obviously give the team some help there. But, definitely could be a situation down the road. The Yankees might have to make some moves, just get someone there. And Clay Holmes, I know he got touched up a little bit there in Arizona in the final game there. You still hold your breath with him a little bit because, again, he could be wild. He could be funky. So you're not so sure if he's ever going to be, you're going to be a long-term closer for the whole year there. So a couple of question marks in the Yankee bullpen. I don't think it's a dire situation, but definitely something you have to be worried about. The Yankees now stay at home. We'll host the Miami Marlins. They're a team that's been actually probably struggling more than even the Mets. So as bad as the Mets have had a start, Miami's been worse. So maybe the Yankees get some easy wins there. You have Nestor now on the mound for the opener. Two bad starts so far this season. You really like to see him get a good start, and this is a good situation for him. At home, he's on his home mound there. Could be a good game if Nestor really have a sort of a breakout pitching performance. This is it. So hopefully that's the case. We'll catch you next time.